Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 543. It's the 27th of July, 2016. On the podcast today, I have CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green, talking about IPO wide sells. That's WDC, which floated today. And they're into blood banking and stem cell treatment, so that'll be interesting. Also on the podcast, Small Cap Authority Doc Holliday talks about some of the most followed stocks on the Vox Markets website today. Also, we mentioned Tullow Energy, Buckley Energia, and Wide Cells as well. I'll also be covering the top five, as mentioned by Doc. We cover a couple with Doc, but the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Now, this is a good mark of sentiment. If people are following these companies, it's worth just checking them out to see why. And also, one for your watch list today is Amrit Pharma. I'll go through the reasons why that's been suggested in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is CEO of Brand Communications, Alan Green. You're Al.
Yeah, Justin, I'm good, thanks. Weather's pretty lousy, though. Summer's gone, I think, so there we go.
Yeah, but what is quite bright is that I see the GDP's just been out, and it exceeded expectations. They were looking for a 0.4% growth in the last quarter. It's 0.6. And that means, hang on, the overall yearly, let me just look at the figures here. The yearly year-on-year growth is 2.2%. It was expected to be 2%, and the previous was 2%. So the GDP in Britain has grown, you know. And obviously, it's not taken into effect, so there's a bit of a lag factor with Brexit. But it seems like we've had a better last quarter, which has pumped up the year. That's quite good there, isn't it?
Well, I think it's brilliant. I think it just shows that we have a strong burgeoning economy in our own right. And as we've said before, the Brexit scenario is actually playing into our hands right now. And I think we're seeing the struggling European economies. Obviously, we have the issues of terrorism and everything else, which is a dreadful tragedy we have to deal with on an ongoing basis. But for us as an economy, we're in good shape, and we've got a new chancellor in place, and the government, the Bank of England, have all said that they will do what's needed to help the economy along. And I think the move that they made after the Brexit vote to keep interest rates on hold and not to hold an emergency Brexit budget were the best things that could have happened.
Yeah, I think that'd be ridiculous just to, you know, almost a knee-jerk reaction to say, right, emergency, calm down, okay?
Yeah.
There's going to be a bit of change, but you've got to wait and see how it plays out over several months, not a couple of weeks, you know?
Exactly. Crisis, what crisis? So the market PMI figures were down a little last week, which is to be expected. You know, there are going to be some changes. There'll also be some seasonal adjustments too. You know, it's a quiet time of year. Movements get magnified at this time of year, and trade does dip off during the summer. So I think we're in good shape, and I'm not at all worried about how the economy will fare later this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what stock are you focusing in on today, Al?
Well, Jess, we've spoken about stem cell research companies in the past. We've discussed companies like Reneuron, R-E-N-E, and others. There's a new entrant to the market that's caught my eye this week. It's a company called Wide Cells. Mm-hmm. The epicode is WDC. Mm-hmm. It floated with 30 million, just over 30 million shares, and raised 2 million before costs at 11p. And the shares are currently trading at 12.5p. Now, stem cell research, everyone should be fairly familiar with. It's where blood cells are taken from stem cells, and they're used and they're stored. And if there are diseases within the family, they can be used to treat those diseases further down the road. I won't go into the details, but suffice to say, it's a well established and regarded medical practice. Wide Cells, the latest to the market, has introduced. It's taken the process a step further in that it's introduced an insurance scheme called Cell Plan. So individuals and families that are suffering from these diseases can basically receive medical and financial support from a healthcare plan purely geared for stem cell treatment. It's the first of its kind in the world. It's a great innovative medical development, and I think for families that are suffering, this is going to be it's really going to bring stem cell therapy into the homes of everyone that needs it. The company also have as well as their stem cell treatment centers and the stem cell storage facilities. They have the what's called the Wired Academy, which is an R&D training facility and a facility that collaborates with universities so they can further the research. But the company's closed at $2 million, and it just caught my eye that the company's here now. Renewon, for instance, is valued at $90 million. That's had help, as we know, from Neil Woodford, the fund manager. And it's had fundraised, and the Neil Woodford's fund have participated in that. So it's a burgeoning industry. It's a growing industry. Wired Academy, Wired Cells have this unique cell plan, financial support, and healthcare plan. And I think they're set for great things. It's early days, of course. The company's just floated, but I think they're well worth a look. And I would expect the company to be revalued and re-rated at some point in the near future.
Yeah, well, I know it's receiving a lot of coverage on Twitter, and a lot of people have I don't know whether that's got quite a few people involved in the placing, but I'm just looking at the shareholder register there, and the CEO has almost 15% of the company. So he's got and Mighton Group are involved as well. So
they've got a very strong board. They've got technology entrepreneur Dr. Graham Hine, David Bridgeland, who's basically vast experience in leading companies from privately owned ventures into major listed companies, and of course the CEO, as you say rightly, holds over 15%. So they've got a vast experienced team there, I think they've got the infrastructure, they've got the people, and they've got the offering that I think is going to really really put them on the map in the next few years.
Marvellous. That's WDC, Wired Cells. Check it out. Do your own research, your own due diligence. We're not advising you to invest in anything here. This is just a forum for ideas, and some ideas are not very good. Just watch Dragon's Den,
That's so, right. Exactly. Yeah. Some of them don't work, but I think I think this little company's going to go places. I think it's got all the ingredients to build a great company.
Yeah, marvelous. Cheers, Al.
Cheers, Just. Thanks very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Doc, an authority there in micro small cap stocks. You're right, Doc.
Morning. How are you today?
All right, I feel I should sing that. An authority in micro small cap stocks, like with your little banjo in the background, you know, your ukulele. Is it ukulele or banjo?
Well, it's just a four stringed instrument. It makes it a ukulele, or a banjolele will be still a four string. A banjo, yeah. Five string. Guitar, six string. So we'd like to keep it simple. The shape is relatively unimportant.
Okay, I was going to say, so the difference is string, it's not size. Size is not important, is it?
Well, I mean, size isn't important, certainly in my case, anyway.
Okay. Hey! He's small cap, hey! Small cap dog authority! Okay, Doc, let's have a look at the... So let's first of all cover off some of the top five followed stocks on the Vox Markets website. There's a bit of a change today at number one, and you'll be pleased to know, stock you've been talking about, when we've had Ed on, you've had Ed on the podcast there, is PXOG is number one most followed stock in the last 24 hours. It's good, isn't it? Hey.
Top of the pops, yeah. I mean, obviously, we chatted about it yesterday, so it's pointless going over all ground, but it's obviously doing quite well. I think the gravity of that 3,500 to 6,500 BOPD equivalent a day is now starting to get people sort of fired up, and quite rightly. I think, you know, there's naturally going to be a rise on anticipation as things move forward. The closer the drill goes into the ground, the more you're going to get people foaming for the stock. And naturally, there's always going to be some risk associated, and at which point, you know, you're always going to get folks there that then look at it and say, do I want to hold all of my positions for news? Probably not. But we haven't even got to that point yet. That's the beauty of this. I mean, they did their initial raise at 3p, it got all the way down to a penny. It's on its, you know, sort of road to recovery right now, and you know, let's wait and see what it does. It's certainly an intriguing one. He's got a lot to prove. The guys who were doing the work out in Poland, they've already proved their ability. So if Ed can get this one right, there's no reason why it can't carry on and go higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, and there's a new one in the top five there, Concepta, and it's, of course, there's a new company. I had the CEO, Eric Hainal, on the podcast, and do you know anything about this company?
This is the former Frontier Resources, FRI. Is
yes,
that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
so,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so we know the situation. They did a really kind of holistic fundraise. It was really well put together, clever bit of business actually. That they brought in some really tight, sticky investors. Naturally, it sort of axed away much of the legacy value of the business. But yeah, they've sort of put things back together. Adam Reynolds, again, he got involved, I believe. And, you know, you look at the way that Adam's done business with a number of companies recently, it all seems to be going in the right direction. Optibiotics was a company I supported when he come with that idea, and God, haven't they done well with that. He also jumped onto a company called EKF Diagnostics. I talked about that a little while ago with Zach Mayer, and that one seems to be doing quite well. Now they've got a bit of a raise under the belt, so you know he does pretty decent business outside of the resource space, and the market likes it. So you know it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a female fertility help or aid. And also in the top five there is Codal Minerals. Now, I'm trying to look memory.
My ukulele has been a fertility aid of mine, you know, over the years.
Yeah, get it floated. what was I say? Yeah, Codal Minerals. I don't really know much about it. I had a podcast, the guy on the podcast, I'm really bad remembering lots of companies because I had lots of companies on and just remembering. What do you know about Codal? I know it's quite popular on Twitter. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, Codal's a company that's sort of, it's had a ski slope decline since it's came to market, and I think the problem that Codal had is that everything was just so early stage, it was just so early on, and at this point in the cycle of mining companies, or particularly last year, just, there was just no interest. I know we've seen a bit of a spike up in interest for mining companies over the last sort of 6 months, but look, like last year these guys just could not get any traction. There was very little interest. They were operating out in Norway or somewhere out in Scandinavia. They've got all of these kind of reserve and valuations and reports, but it just wasn't enough to fluff the market. I think they've moved on. They've now sort of headed out towards West Africa, and they've picked up some kind of gold project. But you know what people want to see is you know, and again, I'm just looking back to the recent RNS. They're talking about, you know, lab results, and they've probably done a bit of grab sampling or whatever it might be, trench sampling. It's the usual early stage stuff. You know what people want to see is they want to see gold nuggets at the bottom of the bucket, and if you can't provide it, they're not going to invest. There's just too many companies that are further down the line that have got really kind of low valuations over the last sort of 6 months. If you'd have started earlier in the year and said in January, what gold companies have we got that have actually got proven production and a feasibility or a JORC compliant report to one side that's valued at, you know, 5 cents over nothing, there'd have been a string of them. And I think the market's moved on then. And unfortunately, these are lagging right behind now. If the interest in mining, you know, continues and we start to see a really big spike in gold, and we see a really big kind of advance on some of these producers and those with the compliant resource estimates in place, then naturally people will start speculating on the really early stage stuff, and they'll probably come to the likes of Codal. So, you know, it's not a dead duck, but they've not done well so far with the strategy. Naturally, if they get the right level of attention, there's a lot of potential. But you've obviously got to circumnavigate that based on what happens with the bigger picture, with other junior miners that have already advanced, and the gold price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I know there's they've got some JV partners that are quite big there. That's what stuck out in my head. Also talking about other stocks here, I see yesterday, just looking at this, Barclay Energia there, which is, doesn't have many pullbacks. 3 days it's been down for, and it's bounced by 7.7%. And essentially, if you look at the chart on that stock, it's phenomenal, the momentum behind it. But you also, I say this because I own both of these, Barclay Energia and Tlu Energy. You like Tlu. Are you in Tlu as well, or not?
Yeah, I've got some stock in Tlu, yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, it was a bit of a no-brainer when it was down at sort of 3.25, 3.5. It's made that journey up to 6p. I think it topped out at 7, 7.25. I think the market sort of looked at it and thought, it's come up a bit here, so I'm not too sure whether I should be actually taking a position or not. But the important thing to remember is that these guys IPO'd at 6.5p. You know, you look at what they've done in the past. I mean, Tony Gilby did a webinar with Momentum Trading a couple of days ago, and I have to say that that convinced me a lot more about Tlu Energy than perhaps even speaking to Colin myself. And Colin was a great guy to have a chat to. He talked a lot about the potential value of this gas to power business that they'd signed out in Africa, and obviously Botswana are desperately wanting to advance these things, and I think the authority that they've been given was for a power supply vehicle which was 5 times bigger than they originally thought they'd get. So they were looking for 10 megawatts, they were offered 50, and off you go. And they've got the gas in place. But one of the interesting stories is the fact that Gilby was involved with two companies, Arrow and Sunshine Gas. I think one went for $3 billion plus, the other one took out for $1.8 billion. I mean, they don't mess about, do they? When you think about the track record, I mean, they've not got a bad record behind them, have they, to be fair? Considering they're only trading at their IPO level, I think there's a massive disconnect. If we take on board what Colm said, that the guys have got the cash in that they need, and anybody who wants exposure in this company is going to have to buy it in the market. I mean, that is a bold, bold statement. Hopefully it won't be one that comes and bites him on the backside. With all of that information, again, I just see a lot of upside potential for Tlu. If they slip on a banana skin, they make a statement that they can't back up, then to caveat that, there's obviously associated risk. But I honestly think there's got to be more upside in this than the market's given it.
Yeah, and I think whenever you look at a company, you know, one of the things you always look at is assets, you know, and the shareholders there, and like I said, and the management, you know, and they've got the management, the assets and the management, and they're in a decent country where there's no, you know, the government there want them to develop it, and it's a desperate shortage there, electricity. So everything's going for it. All you need to do is prove up these assets, and that's it. So, I think it's one. And they said that, looking in now, down 6% a day. And it's one of those things where when it has a fall like this, still below a 13 million market cap, you know, it's probably worth the chance of snapping some up before you're too late. Because before you know it, you know, like these kind of stocks can fly, can't they, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the thing with Tlu is it's a liquidity situation, isn't it? So what happens is when the liquidity dries up a little bit and you get a couple of those kind of people in the market trade out, they get a little bit kind of fearful or just fed up, really. They go and move that stock on, and then suddenly, you know, you get that wave of buying again that takes it right the way back, and then people sort of start looking back. Then once you get that kind of the market's ears pricked up, that then draws people to start to look back at interviews that you may have done, you know, content that exists in the public domain, webinar presentations, and then they, you know, you start to get the tails wagging again. So it's a funny old game on AIM, but it's one that we sort of learn to navigate as we progress on, and it's a great one. I mean, there's a number of exciting possibilities that exist within AIM. I think Tlu's one of them. I think you look at the IPO today, Wide Cells. I don't know if it's one you've looked at. Stem cell storing business. I think these guys are going to look to work within that area. You know, they're going to give or hope to open up this stem cell sort of business where
you can take an insurance policy out against, you know, the any illness which will come. So you can get the stem cells, store them, and then should you encounter, God forbid, any serious illness, you've got access both to the stem cell treatment, but an insurance policy that makes it affordable. And I think, we live in a world where people are far more conscious about health. And if it's at an affordable price, then I think it's certainly on the crest of a wave of the new beginnings. I mean, if it catches on, it'll do well. And I think Mitan have taken £500,000, and you look at sort of Gervais and you say, well, what's he invested in recently? He invests in things that are £50 million market cap upwards. He did invest in a little company called Fishing Republic. I think he bought at 15p, shares are now 45. He doesn't, he doesn't mess around, and he's in for, I think, 500,000 of the 2 million raise. So to have an institutional name like that on side so early on, with such a relatively small market cap, I'd say it's a real positive. And they've done the raise with Gervais, with Vicarage, and with the guys at Shard, and I've had it on good account that there's a sticky book here. So assuming they navigate it correctly, they get the right level of attention, should do well.
Marvellous, Doc. Speak soon, fella.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. All right, there's a new entry at number five. It's Codal Minerals, K-O-D. At four, new entry, it's Concepta, CPT. I've had Eric Hainau on the actual podcast there. At three, they're in there yesterday. I'm not sure what level they're at, but they're in again. Makanga Resources, MKA. At two, they're in the top five yesterday as well. China New Energy, CNEL. And they were here yesterday. They were in the top five yesterday, but they weren't number one. They've edged up a notch to number one. It is, at one, PXOG, Prospects Oil and Gas. All right, today's one for your watchlist, suggested by, I think it was Anthony. This is a rerun, actually, because there's more news and there's been an update here. So Amrit Pharma, and I got to say, I do hold stock in this company, and I'd say it was worth checking out. In fact, I put a link to my blog, which I wrote a bit about Amrit Pharma on there. So AMYT, the new pharmaceuticals, how many shares does the company have in issue? 208 million. Current price and market cap, it's 32 million market cap. 15.5p share price, no debt, 12.6 million cash at the 31st of December 2015. Three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, unique orphan drug. That's EB. It's a long name, but they just call it EB. Huge and highly competitive market. Two, the who's who of persons forming one of the strongest BODs on AIM. For a pharmaceutical company, it is. And a couple of them, were in Shire, Harry Stratford there. And he's pretty much doing what he did with Shire with this, hopefully. Huge potential here. Three, looking at potential NASDAQ listing 12, 18 months out there, a very similar value to orphan drug company, was bought for $800 million from a similar small market cap as Amrit. So worth checking out. Amrit Pharma, it's hard to remember, Amrit. AMYT. Alright, so check that out and maybe put them on your watch list to get more information when it breaks. Like I said, it's very simple. Just get the Vox Markets app, obviously log in, add a company to your watch list by clicking follow, and then whenever that company releases an RNS, you will get sent that RNS straight to the front screen of your smartphone. You know what I'm saying? Okay, thanks for listening. Much less appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.